Matthew chapter 4. I want to read to you from this chapter and then the parable that is next in our consideration in chapter 13. So in Matthew chapter 4, look at verse 18. And walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brethren, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishing. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left the nets and followed him. Now Matthew chapter 13, verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which, when it was filled, they drew up on the beach, and they sat down and gathered the good in the vessels, but the bad they cast away. So shall it be in the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the righteous, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. But let me read verse 47 and 8 again. And you listen to it carefully. Listen to it in its exactness, because it is most important. 47. In fact, I'll read the whole passage again. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which, when it was filled, they drew up on the beach, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but the bad they cast away. So shall it be in the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the righteous, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful that as surely as if your Son's lips spoke these words into our ears, we believe them to be true, the words that he spoke. And because of this, we reverence them, our Father. We stand in respect of them, and we desire that we shall learn from them. He is the teacher that you have sent from heaven. Never man spake like this man, and he saw fit to speak in parables. And so give us understanding that we may comprehend these parables. We remember that he said, to you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And so by thy Spirit's illumination, give us to know these mysteries. Prepare the hearts of all who are here and thy servant for cleanliness and for power to speak as you would have him to speak. Undertake, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. This is the last parable in Matthew 13 that's spoken. We have one more parabolic application, but in this chapter, it is the last parable that is spoken, and again, it is to be compared and contrasted with the previous six parables in Matthew 13 that our Lord spoke. To be compared and contrasted because our Lord has grouped these parables together, four in the first group, and in all of them, they have to do with seed in some form, a lot of seed, one seed, or seed ground into meal. But they all have to do with seed in the first parable. The sower goes forth to sow. The man sows good seed in his field. The man takes the mustard seed and sows it in his field. And then a woman takes some leaven and hides it in 3 measures of meal. We have the area of farm and farming and agriculture in these first 4 parables. But after that, no more do we have to do with the farm and the earth, but we go to the sea when we get to the last 2 parables. We have a treasure hidden in the earth, but in the last 2 parables, we go to the sea, because most of us know that if you get a pearl, it comes from an oyster, it comes from the sea. And in the portion that I read to you today, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea. You comprehend the connection between them. And so, a pearl is taken up from the sea, and in this parable, fishes are taken up from the sea. And the Lord delights to take one area and develop it, and then he goes to another area. And so in these last 2 parables, 6 and 7, he's left the land and he's gone to the sea. And what is so important about this 7th parable is that again, there is activity in recovering the lost. Remember that. Only in the 1st parable do we have any activity to save the lost. Behold, the sower went forth to sow. And in the explanation of the parable, we find out that the Lord is seeking to get men to believe the gospel and be saved. And so the seed is the word of God. The gospel preached to sinners that they might be saved. But I told you this, and it's most important. In the 2nd parable, it says that a man sowed good seed in his field. But he simply sowed those seed and they remained good seed. And then he sowed a mustard seed. And then here is meal, which is a picture of the church, as in Corinth. You are unleavened. You are a batch of unleavened meal. And so here we are, but there is no activity to gain us. And again, in the parables I told you about last week, about the man finding a treasure hidden in the field, he dies that that treasure may be his. The pearl, he dies that he may purchase that pearl, but there is no thought of activity to recover the loss. But now, thank God, there is. But notice the beauty of it, how the Lord expresses different ways that he goes about to save men's souls. If someone who was a farmer, like Amos in the Old Testament, heard the 1st parables, he would understand it. He was a farmer. He was one that took care of sycamore trees. He would understand that. But here is a fisherman, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. They were fishers, and they were partners, and I don't know how much they would understand with exactness about farming, but they would understand about fishing. Because in Matthew 4, that's why I read it, to bring the connection together. The Lord had made them a promise a long while ago. He said, you follow me, come after me, and I will make you fishers of men. And now, he leaves the agricultural scene, and he gets to the sea. And the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net cast into the sea. And then Peter and Andrew and James and John would say, we know all about this parable, a net cast into the sea. And so if you ask me, what is seeking to win souls like? I could say it's like a farmer who goes out, sows seed in his field. And why does a farmer sow these seeds in his field? He wants a crop. He wants to secure wheat, and therefore he sows seed. Well, is it too elementary to ask you this question? Why does a fisherman cast a net into the sea? You say he wants to catch fish. And that is exactly what the Lord is bringing to our attention. In the first instance, he sows seed because he wants a crop of wheat. And in the second parable, he has it. He has this wheat that is developed. That's what he's looking for. And in this parable about the net cast into the sea, then again, the net is cast into the sea that it might engulf fish, that there might be a good catch. And so a farmer wants wheat that he can make bread, and the fisherman wants fish so that he can have meat to eat. And so in both instances, we have emphasized now the activity that is going on to secure a crop from a field or to secure fish from the sea. And so God looks upon us in various ways, and among those ways, we are looked upon as having hearts that are soil. And some of our hearts are like wayside soil, trodden underfoot, hard, impregnable. And then some of us have hearts like stone, have a little earth on top, but underneath there is stone. And some of us have hearts of soil mixed with weeds. And then it says some of us have hearts like good soil. And if the seed of the Word of God falls in a heart that is like unto good soil, then it brings forth fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and then 100-fold. And the Lord was successful when he sowed the seed in at least getting something of a crop. Not by the wayside, not in the stony ground, not among the thorns, but when the seed fell into good soil, he made crop. And that's good. And so the gospel is going to be preached, and not everyone is going to be saved. But thank God, some are going to be saved. And among those that are saved, we variously produce fruit, 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Now, what kind of Christian are you? You say you're a Christian? Unless you produce fruit at least 30-fold, you're not a Christian. By their fruits shall you know them. And so notice, good seed and good soil, these depict the true children of God. And so we leave the farm. The Lord is no longer a man going forth to sow, but we come to this parable, and now the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net cast into the sea. And again, please notice, when they gather it, they have the good and the bad. You see the continuity, the similarity? You have good seed in the field, and you have bad seed in the field. You have good soil that produces fruit. You have bad soil. And so the Lord is developing this again and again and again. And as time allows, I will give you the details, but I can't give you all the details. But if you go home and look at these parables, you will be thrilled as the Spirit of God enables you to see the marvelous exactness that our Lord is able to put into these few words that form these parables in Matthew 13. I say the exactness and the minuteness because if you pass over one word, you remember I read it to you twice, you will miss it. Now let me ask you, I've been talking to you about fishermen casting nets into the sea to catch fish. How many times did the word fish occur in this parable? How many times did the word fisherman occur in this parable? You say, it didn't. Of course not. But you were listening to me and I told you fishermen cast the net into the sea. And I told you that they caught fish. But you look and the strangeness of this parable, and this is why it is so difficult, because of its strangeness. There are similarities in the other. If I read, a sower went forth to sow, and as he sowed some seed fell by the wayside, here is a farmer, a sower, sowing seed, and then he sows good seed, but here is a net cast into the sea. Who cast that net into the sea? Somebody tell me. You can't do it. Because it doesn't tell us who cast that net into the sea. Purposely. The exactness is startling. Now, I told you that every time you have a man in these parables, the man is always the Lord Jesus. The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The one who finds the treasure, who seeks goodly pearls, is the Lord Jesus. And so you say, well, inasmuch as he was the one that went out and sowed seed, he's the sower, isn't he the one that cast the net into the sea? Why, of course not. That's the very reason that he left it unnamed. Because he wants you to know that it is not he who cast the net into the sea. When the Lord was on earth for 3 years, he personally spoke the word, preached the gospel. As he said this, he said, I am the light of the world, but he also said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But then he said to his disciples, ye are the light of the world. And so the light of the world has gone back to heaven and he's bodily seated at God's right hand. But the light hasn't gone out. Now the Lord Jesus, through the instrumentality of Peter, Andrew, James, and John, is, he said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You say, well, why doesn't he say, the kingdom of heaven is like unto fishers who cast a net into the sea? Because that would limit it. But he is speaking of the net, and that is timeless, because what is the seed when he is seeking? You say, the seed is the word of God, because the Lord always seeks to save sinners by the word of God. Yes. And so what is the net? You say, well, it has to be the same word of God. Of course. A farmer wants success by sowing seed. And so a fisherman, when he goes fishing, he has to either take a hook or he has to take a net, one of the two. And so a farmer uses seed success. And a fisherman uses a hook, as Peter did on one occasion. One occasion you have in the New Testament where we have an individual fishing for a fish. This might be of interest to you. The Lord said, Simon, from whom do the kings of the earth gather tribute or toll? From their sons, from their children, or from strangers? Peter said, from strangers. He said, well, you go and you take a hook and cast it into the sea. And the first fish that comes up. And he did that. And so here is one man fishing individually, but in the others, when it speaks of net, they were casting a net into the sea, it is a joint undertaking. And inasmuch as the Lord did not say Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, had he put them there, then that would have been good. I would have understood it, but I would have to have told you this. I would say, they, in their generation, cast out the gospel net, and then it passes on to us. But I do not even have to say that. Here is the gospel net, and when the Lord went back to heaven on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up, and he cast out that net, and he engulfed 2,000 souls. But John was there, and the other disciples were there, and there was a joint undertaking, and the net was cast. But in the first parables, the Lord Jesus is he who is prominent. Every time you have a man in these parables, he is the Lord Jesus. And someone said, but there is a woman in the parables. That's exactly why I told you, every time you have a man, he is the Lord Jesus. And if you have a man that's the Lord Jesus, and suddenly he speaks about a woman, you're supposed to think, you say, well, this isn't man. No. It's someone who is doing mischief. It is someone who is hiding leaven in 3 measures of meal. And so when he brings in a woman, then the continuity is broken, because you have a man, a man, a man, a woman. You should stop and think and say, now the continuity is broken. Yes, he wants it to be broken. And she alters the order that is given in the first parables. This was just brought to my attention. When the man does something, he takes seed, and they are good. He takes seed that are good and sows them in his field. He takes a mustard seed and sows it. But here, the first thing that's done, leaven, which is evil, is taken by the woman and hidden in 3 measures of meal. And so everything is broken. If you have a mind that is analytical, you can follow it along, and suddenly everything changes. God wants you to be upset. He wants you to stop and think. It is upset because here is a woman that is doing a work that is evil, that is corrupting the meal. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5, you are unleavened. Purge out the old leaven from the lump. And so the Christian church is looked upon as an unleavened lump. And here is a woman, just as the birds depicted satanic activity. So here is this woman hiding leaven, which depicts evil doctrine and evil behavior. She is hiding it into the church, seeking to corrupt its doctrines and seeking to corrupt its morals. And she has been successful. And the Lord tells us now, we come to the 7th parable, and no leading character is mentioned. Simply, a net is cast into the sea. That's why I read it to you twice, and I've looked at it and looked at it, the strangeness of it, for this reason. I always go and look up all the words in the original when it's necessary. And when it says in Matthew chapter 4, follow me and I will make you fishers of men, and they left their nets and followed the Lord Jesus, the word nets there is different from the word net here. And the word that is translated draw elsewhere of net is different from the word draw here. And all of these things you expect when you go to look up God's inspired references to nets and fishes and behavior of fishermen. You expect to find it the same, but it's entirely different. And so you have to figure this out. What does it mean? Well, when the Lord leaves out something, it is not by chance. And he leaves it out because there is not only a connection between these parables as to a development, but as to a chronology as well. And if I interpret it correctly, inasmuch as he is not the Lord Jesus who personally cast in the net, but he did personally cast the seed, I take it that now the Lord has gone back to heaven, and we have the Christians who are preaching the gospel to every creature. Did you notice this? That it says, the net was cast into the sea and it gathered of every kind. You might not notice the significance of that. But earlier, before the Lord went out of the house, when he was in the house, spiritually speaking, he said, I only want you to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But after he goes out of the house, then he is not concentrating his efforts exclusively to the children of Israel, but he tells them at the last, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And it says that in Matthew chapter 22, that when this instruction is given, that they go forth and they find good and bad, and they invite to the marriage feast. And so here, the net is cast, and it's not cast just among the Jews, just seeking the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but it's cast into the sea, the vast humanity of men, and it gathers of every kind. And so you will find, though they are called Christians first in Antioch, you find the household of Cornelius, and Peter was hesitant to go and speak to Cornelius because he was a Gentile. But the Lord had told him again and again, I want you to preach the gospel to every creature. This net gathers of every kind. But they could not comprehend that the Lord was exclusively dealing with Israel no more. But he wanted all mankind to be fished for. And so that's what happened here. And the Lord is going back to heaven, and now this activity is taken up by you. Have you ever cast in a net? How many of you have jointly undertaken to win souls to Jesus Christ? Well, how many of you have ever cast a net, not into the ocean? I know there are so many of you that are hooked on that. How many of you have cast a hook properly baited to catch fish? The Lord said, you follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Are you a follower of the Lord Jesus? You say, I am. Well then, you're to be a fisher of men. How many fish have you caught? He told me this in John 21. He said, do you love me? I'm applying what he said to Simon to me. And Simon said, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. He said, feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. That's what I'm doing. Now he said, if you follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. And we are to go out and seek to win men's souls. And having won them, we are to feed God's lambs and sheep. We sow the gospel to get sinners saved, but at the same time, there are good seeds sown in the field, and they are to grow, they are to develop. And that is the activity of the teacher. We have the evangelist, and we have the teacher. And so I hope you do not think that you have to be some specially ordained man to cast a hook into the sea. I hope that you are fishing continually to save sinners. And if you do that, then the Lord has fulfilled in you what he said to Peter and Andrew. He said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And so if you cast a hook, that's individual fishing for sinners. But if you cast a net, that is a joint undertaking. And so let's work together. Paul spoke about my fellow laborers. And so here a net. And I cannot tell you for certain about this net. I delight when I look it up and I find ever so many usages of the word and occurrences of the word net. But the word phagene occurs one time in the Bible. And because of that, I have to go to the Greek dictionary and find out what kind of net this is. Ordinarily, I stay away from dictionaries and I find from the usage the meaning of a word. A word does not mean what a man says it means. A word's meaning is determined by its usage. But when it occurs only once, you have to go to those who find this word occurring elsewhere in ancient Greek. And then they tell you the meaning. And it's not a small net, but it's a vast net, a large net. And especially, I'm giving you the definition that they give us, it's one that goes to the very bottom and drags. It gets everything. It includes everything in its weight. And so here it is being cast into the sea and it's gathering fish of every kind. And this is the way it is in the first parable, and this is the way it is in the last parable. Remember, there is the parabolic application in the eighth, but this is the seventh, the last actual parable before he applies it to the disciples. And so here the net is cast. And you have the good and the bad, and the seed are sown. Notice, the Lord does not say, I'm wasting my time if I sow the seed anywhere except on the elect, and so I'm just sowing them on the good soil. No, the Lord sows, and seeds fall by the wayside, stony ground, thorny ground, and in good soil. And in like manner, the net is cast into the sea. He doesn't say, well now, here's a fish that's a bad one, we'll throw this one out. No, they're all engrossed in the net, engulfed in that net, and when the net is full, then the determination is made by, and I leave these things out, but now I speak with certainty again. And I looked at it, and some people who have not noticed the exactness of it say, the same ones that cast the net into the sea drew it up on the beach. But that's exactly what it does not say, and that is exactly why the Lord left out who they were that cast the net into the sea, and he left out the fact that these who cast the net into the sea drew it up on the shore. Why? Because the ones who draw the net up on the shore are not the ones who cast the net
into the sea.
It is this way in the second parable. It is this way in the seventh parable. When the seed is sown in the field and tares come up, the servants of the Lord say, do you want us to go and separate the wheat from the tares, to root up the tares? The Lord said, absolutely not. He said, leave that work to the reapers. And he says, the reapers are the angels. Because whenever there is to be any discriminating that results in eternal life or eternal death, you are not able to make that decision. But the angels are. And so again, it says, they draw that net. They do not cast the net. That's left to us. That's the marvel that God has committed unto us sinners, saved by the grace of God. He has committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. And we cast the net into the sea. But when that net is filled, the angels are waiting. And the Lord says, the angels come forth, and they sever the righteous from the wicked. And so we cast the net, and when it gets full, then the angels do the rest of the job. Ours ends there. In like manner, the seed is sown, and the Lord says, let it grow with the tares, the wheat and the tares together. Let them grow together until the harvest. Now notice the termination period in this parable. When the net was full, it's drawn to the beach. The same thing, if we ever get to it, this parable of the marriage feast, it says the wedding was filled with guests. And so here it is. It's not now when the crop matures, but it's when the net is filled. And when the net is filled, what do? You pull it to the shore. You draw it to the beach. And when the crop is ripe, what do? You send in the reapers. And so the angels are waiting until this net is filled with all who are going to be engulfed in that net. And when it's filled, they know the time. It says, these angels who have been hidden from the eye of man, have you ever seen an angel? I've never seen one. But they are there. They are invisible spirits until they see fit to reveal themselves. And these angels whom I've never seen, but the early disciples saw them, it says they're going to come forth. And then the skeptical world who does not believe in spirit or angel or resurrection, they're going to see all of these angels come forth, myriads of angels come forth and do the work of God and the work that we Christians began, then they are going to complete. They're going to bring it up to the shore, and then that is the termination. That is the period when a man can no longer be saved. When the harvest comes, then no more chance to be saved. And once a fish that is in the ocean is drawn upon the shore, why, that's when a fisherman feels safe. You men who have fished, you know what it is. You've got a fish. Oh dear, if I can only get him up here on the land. Once you get him on the land, he can flop around, but all is well. And so here are these fish, and they're in the net, and finally when the net is full, they're drawn up on the beach, drawn up on the shore, and then these angels, it shows the carefulness, and it shows the lack of rush. There is no haste necessary. Deliberation, it says, they sat down, and then they start the separation. They gather the good in the vessel, but the bad they cast away. And so this is what's going to happen to you in the coming day. Right now, you realize that you are in the net. All of you here this morning are in the net. Because all of those who are brought under the sound of the gospel and who do not reject, refuse, this is professing Christendom, they're all engulfed in this net. But the fact that you are gathered in the net does not mean that ultimately you will be put into a vessel. It may be that you are a bad fish among good fish. And in that coming day, the angels who are able to discriminate if you are a bad fish, they're going to cast you away. If you are a good fish, they're going to put you in a vessel. Just like the good seed they put into the barn. God has various ways of describing it. The place of safety and security is the barn. The place of safety and security when it comes to fish is the vessel. And here is something else you will have to notice. That whenever the Lord gives the interpretation of the parable, he gives additional features and explanations that were not contained in the parable itself. For instance, it simply says that the ones who draw the net to the shore sit down and put the good fish in the vessels, but the bad they cast away. That's all he says. And if you think it, bad they cast away. They could either throw them back into the water for the sharks to eat or the crabs to feed on, or they could simply throw them out of the way on the shore and let them stay there and rot. But he tells us, cast away the bad, what that means. It says, in the coming day, the bad are going to be cast into the furnace of fire. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. And there are two gatherings. Did you notice that? It says that in this parable, the net is cast into the sea, and it gathers of every kind. And so you say, well, if I'm gathered in the net, all is well. No, because it's drawn up to the beach, and then the good are gathered in the vessels. The bad are cast away. Anybody can be gathered the first time. If you hear the gospel and you go along with it and you're not born again, you have been gathered the first time. And if you hear the gospel invitation and you come without a wedding garment to the marriage feast, then you've been gathered the first time. There has been some response. It's not the correct response, but there has been some response, and you are affected by this gospel net, by the preaching of the word, and somehow you want to associate with Christians. As it says in the book of Exodus, that when the true children of Israel departed from Egypt, it says there was a mixed multitude. And in like manner, there is always a mixed multitude. But it is going to terminate someday. And you may sit here this morning, and you are with me in the net, and you may be a good fish, I may be a good fish, or we may be bad fishes. That is determined in the coming day by the angels, but they know. In the last day, it's determined by the book being opened. You see the various ways that God tells us that we're either going to heaven or going to be cast into the lake of fire. At times, is my name written in that book? Am I constituted a good fish or a bad fish? Am I a wheat or am I a tare? But every time there is discrimination, and so this is not left to man. It is up to me to preach the gospel. And I think I know those who respond, but at times I've been fooled. I've seen one, when I spoke the gospel, I spoke it simply to him, and I left him alone. And then he came to me later and said, would you tell me those words again, how to be saved? And I told him. And for all I knew, the man trusted Christ and he went his way rejoicing. But then I found out that it was an empty profession. And I would have said, I led a soul to Christ last night. But I did not lead a soul to Christ. What I did was to engulf him in the net. But when in that last day, even I could see it then, but in that last day, some that have others deceived up till the last moment, then these angels are going to sit down on the beach and they're going to say, a bad fish, a good fish, a good fish, a good fish, a bad fish. And they're going to cast you away. And so the Lord is telling us that there is activity going on to save sinners from the time he came from heaven. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And then the sinners that Christ Jesus saved, he sent into the world to save sinners. And the activity of saving sinners is going on until the last. And then, when the preaching of the good news that Christ loves you and died for you and rose again, believe in the gospel, when that, in God's mind, comes to an end, when the wedding is filled with guests, when the harvest is ripe, and when the net is filled, then it all ends immediately.
an angel comes in. And that's when the separation begins. And so you do not have forever to be saved. Today is the day to be saved. Be sure that you're gathered in the net, but be sure that in that coming day, the angels are going to gather you in vessels. Be a good fish. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are thankful that in every way you are seeking to have men to be saved. We are thankful that we've had the Word of God sown in our hearts. We are thankful that as a fish in a net is tugged at, we have been drawn by thy word, and there has been some response. Thou dost know at times some get out of the net. We remember that the rich young ruler left the Lord. But there's some, and we are afraid of thee, our God, who go along and permit that net to pull and get them into a social relationship with others. But they're still bad fish, and they must be born again. And so we pray that this day, in hearts that have been prepared by thy Spirit, hearts that are not hardened, but hearts that are prepared by thy Spirit, the seed shall bring forth good fruit. And that this net that is drawn us, it is drawn us because we see that Jesus loved us and died for our sins. And we've truly trusted him as Savior. And we have no fear in that coming day. We can pass the scrutiny of the eye of an angel. We can pass the scrutiny of the eye of an omniscient God. Because we've been born again. We've been cleansed by the precious blood of Christ. We thank you for seeking sinners, for saving sinners. And let us, by thy grace, be among those who are saved. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord.